WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. Welcome. It's BRB UK. I'm Dan. Life begins at episode 440 because it's this one. That's right, it's the best time to be alive. Ish, if it wasn't for the pandemic and all the other craziness that's going on. But we don't care about that because we have the video games, don't we, Coleman?
Aye! What pandemic?
Exactly. Tim?
Pandemic's a game?
Yes.
Goods. Goods.
Yeah.
Goods.
Yes.
Goods.
Technically.
Yeah.
Yes. Good. Yeah. How have you chaps been? It's a second all show right. in a row where all three of us are here, which is
Ooh.
Incredible.
It happens every now and then.
It does. It does. Coleman's been doing Coleman things, Tim's been doing Tim things, and I have been doing Dan things.
Mm-hmm. That's how
that
it
catches
goes.
Us up.
That's as exciting as it gets.
Yeah.
So it's been a... I feel like we're in a bit of a lull with games. A bit of a lull. I feel like we're about to burst the zit that is the upcoming releases and let all its festering goodness spread forth amongst the internet. Because I've just played the Resident Evil demo, and it takes me to some very strange places. That's all I'm going to say.
I set up for the Resident Evil, because they've got, what, three different versions of the demo now?
There's two. One, now there's one on the PC with two bits in it.
Okay. There's the Maiden demo, which is more of a teaser than the demo. Then there's the Castle demo and the Village demo, I think.
Yeah, the Castle demo and the Village demo are kind of... smushed together in menu-based goodness for you to experience.
So I did the Maiden demo on PS5, but then the other two weren't really... They weren't demos like they did with Resident Evil 7, where they went, here's a different part of the game that we've started putting together, and you can unlock things in the main game if you get through the demo in different ways and find the secret ending and all that kind of stuff. Isn't this more... They've taken two parts of the game and just gone, here's half an hour of play.
Well, no, it's 60 minutes.
They're only
moderately tight-fisted with the time. I've cleared both with 7 minutes and 54 seconds to spare. So I, too, could listen to some more dialogue or try and work out what the heck's going on. So it's both... You have 60 minutes across both the Village and the Castle.
All right. Unless you're on Steam and then you can reset it quite easily, apparently.
Well, there's probably... I haven't been bothered to look into that. But it's... I think the Village bit must be pretty much where the game picks up, because you as Ethan, who you play as Ethan, meets a crazy old lady who's being crazy, and she's at the front gate of a village, and then she cackles a lot, and then she shuts the gate behind her, and
nice.
Then you're kind of left to your own devices. It's a bit like Archway, as far as I can work out. So, I mean, that's a very atmospheric game. Not at all what I was expecting. I think the first-person viewpoint makes you expect a certain way the game's going to behave and control than what the enemies are going to be like. But wow, really largely impressed. Wasn't a massive fan of how the gun movement felt. It felt very clunky and imprecise.
Yeah.
But that's probably by design, no?
Yeah, because survival horror.
Yeah, because survival horror. But no, I mean, first of all, really atmospheric, really unsettling in, like, not just a boo, oh, scary monster kind of way, but like the kind of, oh, that's messed up. That's really messed up kind of way. Looks fantastic as well. I was playing it on PC. There was knobs and buttons to twiddle and press, so I pressed all of them and turned them all high, and it looked great, even though it did make my room about 5 degrees warmer than it was previously with all the electric trickery required. Very atmospheric. The enemies are just tanky enough, and it feels like you really are, if something's running at you, it really nails that feeling of, oh, crap, I've got to kill this, otherwise it's going to eat my face. And the thing then proceeds to eat your face. Because you haven't killed it, but it's dead already. I don't really understand how zombies work. I'm very confused.
Well, that was kind of the problem I found with Resident Evil 7. This is 8. Right,
this is 8.
Sorry, it's because they call it Village now and didn't give it a number.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 7, similar thing, went to first person, all that kind of stuff. And they had kind of two versions of enemies. One would be the more your boss type enemies, but they were in the open sections. You would be just followed around by a character who could take you out at any point. But then also there was the molded.
I have a question. Yep. Did they buy you dinner first?
Yes, at the start Lovely. Of the game, and it was disgusting. But at the, there was also these characters called the molded, which were like your weird creatures that you have to fight, and they're like your stand-in for zombies in this game because they didn't do zombies in 7. But whereas this character could kind of stalk you and take you out with an axe or a hammer or whatever it was he was carrying, the molded, you could just shoot them quite easily, and every now and then they would come up on you. But it didn't, there wasn't really a threat to them. Like, they could take you out, but they weren't that scary unless they happened to get a jump scare on you, but they weren't that impressive. So I don't know what the enemies are like in this one. I've avoided the gameplay demos because the game's out tomorrow as we're recording.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're kind of, what's the best word? I would say they're kind of like half zombie, half werewolf, if that makes any sense, that they're kind of a bit slow and a bit dim, but will also rush you.
Okay.
If the fancy takes them. But I mean, they're quite mobile. I mean, they're not just as in they shuffle towards you, but they kind of beat, weave and bob as they approach, which makes kind of actually taking them down pretty challenging. And I think the other thing that I found myself doing a couple of times is like you think you've killed them. You think you've taken them down, but you're kind of still just pointing the gun at them just in case.
Yeah.
when they're on the ground. But I mean, it's not too much of a spoiler, I hope, but it's certainly kind of the way they play with the environment in the first time you encounter the enemies in the demo, anyway. It's like in a kind of a wheat field. So actually what you see is all the wheat moving.
This crazy woman at the start, this wasn't Theresa May, was it?
No,
running through the field of wheat.
And that it was, but it was really well done. It was like, oh god, they're in that field that I need to go through, but I don't know exactly where they are. So yeah, no, I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. I think the village bit's great. The castle is, I think, doesn't fare as well in the context of this demo. It's fairly linear, that bit, and it is, I think you've just been dragged into the castle.
Right.
And you're now trying to work out how to escape.
I've seen a
and
couple
you see
of...
a big tall lady. She's big and tall.
Yeah, big vampire woman.
Without too many spoilers for Coleman, I've seen a couple of reviews that have said stuff about the first half of the game being better than the second half, possibly.
Mm. I've read that as well.
But that's kind of what happened with 7 as well. And again, you mentioned the kind of clunky gun mechanics in there. There is literally a point in the game of 7 where you've gone from trying to conserve ammo and be very careful, and then it just turns into Modern Warfare or something, you know, Call of Duty levels of gunplay. And like, I'm not enjoying this part of the game, but getting to this point was very fun, so I'm fully expecting that. And being Resident Evil as well, it might seem like a linear area, the castle, but it's probably going to open up in weird ways and different corridors and hidden entries and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, there was lots of evidence of that. There was clearly lots of things that I couldn't interact with yet and that were bits of puzzles that obviously is not completely in the demo. And even though kind of they say, hey, you got 60 minutes, go wild, actually they're very well circumscribed bits of game.
Yeah. What I thought with the Maiden demo, because that entirely takes place in the castle as well. You kind of go from like a dungeon basement area and then into the main halls, and that's where you've got like your gold fixtures on the walls and nice paintings and stuff. And when I got
there
into that level,
there was a lot of crenellation. It's still going on.
It just seemed like the RE team went, we've got ray tracing that we need to play with. What can we put in a Resident Evil? Let's set it in a mansion where we got gold stuff. And that was like the only reason the mansion exists.
I mean, they didn't seem to lean into the ray tracing. It was a slightly odd implementation of it, since it still seemed to primarily lean on like previous lighting tech, like screen-based reflections, all that kind of stuff. There was no DLSS option either for NVIDIA cards, which is a kind of like their AI powered way to kind of accelerate the rendering pipeline. So yeah, I mean, that may well be in the full game, and I'm sure the code that was in the demo is almost certainly a couple of months behind what they're actually going to release. But I thought it was a wonderfully atmospheric game. The best looking game I've seen by a country mile so far. It really is so beautifully crisp, pitched from a atmosphere point of view.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think, especially with sticking to the first person view, that it will eventually lend itself to being good for VR?
No.
No?
The first one was.
Well, the last one.
The previous game. The first one. Resident Evil 7, they made the game entirely playable in PSVR initially, and then I think they did that on the PC versions as well.
And I think they might be waiting for PSVR 2, or I don't know if they're possibly
Because
it to Quest, or I don't know.
When you look at the styles of the two games, 7 lent itself to VR just in the... like, it didn't look like it was going to overload the system trying to render everything in there, whereas 7, there seems to be a lot more detail put into the backgrounds of the game. So, I don't know.
Sorry, 8, did you mean, rather than 7?
8,
your
yes.
Last
Yeah, Village.
Shinies.
The way to remember it, Coleman, is the V is for Village...
Make 7 in Roman numerals.
Yeah,
I know.
And then 1 is an I, and then the second one is an L for some reason, or half an L for some reason. But yeah.
I was going to try how we were saying that Crenellation has 8 letters in it, but it doesn't. That's more than that.
Oh. That's a shame.
But I mean, I'm not sure, because if it was just the kind of the puzzly aspects or interacting with the environment, I'd say, yeah, probably. But actually, you have to be quite mobile, and there's quite a lot of quick change direction, well, relatively quickly in Resident Evil terms, and being kind of having to run down a corridor or being chased down, which now having experienced that side of VR could be a way that you get reintroduced to your lunch. I think.
Okay.
Well, we'll have more on it next week because it's tomorrow.
Just wondering.
Hey, but you know what else is coming next week? Season 14 of Destiny 2.
Never heard of it.
14?
14, yes. Yes, Tim. 14.
Just
yep. Vault Glass has come back. It's going to be great.
Old content.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was...
old content, best content.
I'm too far behind on Destiny to play with anyone, so I won't even pretend that I'm going to jump him back in.
We can power level you, buddy. Crossplay's coming in season 15.
I was literally just looking this morning going, oh man, I was like, just before all these new games started coming out earlier in the year that I wanted to play, I got really back into The Division 2. So I wonder if there's a cross save so I can play on the Series S and X, because on the PS4 the frame rate was chugging like a dick. And
it's nothing I hate more than a chugging dick.
So there's your title. Anyway, yeah, I looked it up. I was like, is there cross?
I have a question.
Is there cross save for Division 2?
And they went,
yes.
Damn it.
If you
question.
Wait, let me finish. God damn it! There's too many questions already in the show. Wait till the end of the show, okay? Hands and feet inside the vehicle.
It's not going to make
sense. Don't make me turn this podcast around, Dan.
All right, okay. All I was going to ask.
Go on, then.
All I was going to ask is it a dick that is chugging, or are you chugging the dick?
We don't need those details, though. Really, do we?
Well, I think our listeners do, because they have very, very different connotations.
I think they've tuned into a video game podcast, and I think Coleman was talking about video games.
All questions.
And you're talking about chugging dick.
All questions about chugging or dicks can go to Dan at Captain Average on Twitter, and he'll be happy to address them. Even his own questions.
You may catch me on the one day a year I actually check Twitter, and I might reply.
Anyway, I looked it up, and it's does Division 2 have cross save like Destiny?
Yeah.
And it says yes, it does. All players that are playing on Stadia can now play on PC and PC on Stadia. Like, that is not what I asked, and you bloody know it.
Hang on, didn't the head of platform Stadia leave?
Yeah.
This week,
yeah,
pretty much everyone. I think a few people from the studios as well have gone to Jade Raymond's new.
Yeah.
Studio, which I forget the name of.
I think Stadia might be about to shuffle off its mortal coil, but I hope before it does that they release some kind of hardware patch for the controller so you can use it on the PC, because that controller is nice.
It's a nice controller. Tim, what have you been playing?
Yeah. Tim?
Well, look, I'll talk about one elephant that's not in the room, but generally, yeah.
Dumbo.
Well,
there's an elephant that's not in the room.
As the person that has a PS5 and reporting back on PS5, I kind of felt obliged almost to be playing Returnal this week and be talking about that. I don't know about you guys. I can't justify, and I think Coleman's in the same boat, but I don't know about you, Dan. I can't justify paying £70 for a game at the moment when...
No.
I know we said there's a bit of a dearth of games at the moment, but I still have a lot of games to play and a lot of games playing. So,
and I was looking at it as well. I mean, even though I enjoyed the demo of Resident Evil, for example, there's probably stuff in my queue. Like, I discovered they finally turned on all of the load Hitman 1 and 2 content from Steam into Epic Games. So I've got the whole of the Hitman trilogy to play all of a sudden. So I'm probably going to do that ahead of buying anything new.
The thing with Resident Evil as well, though, is they're not releasing it at £70. It's £50. That's why I picked it up.
By
Grabthar's hammer.
What a
save. Still a lot of money.
But yeah, with Returnal, it was a case of, because there is a PS5 in the household, but that's my girlfriend's PS5, so I don't get to play it as much. So until if I had my own and I was able to play PS5 every night on my own at my desk and stuff, then I probably would have picked it up just for the sake of talking about it on the show. But because I don't have that access, I just wouldn't get the gameplay out of it. But then as well, and I was still thinking, well, maybe I can get it on the odd night. Maybe it'll be worth me playing it, get some gameplay footage and stuff. And every podcast, written interview, video that they were talking about Returnal on there, everything seemed to point to me of this game is good, not £70 good. And even the ones that are like, it's worth a full price game. Everything they were saying to me was not saying this is a 70 quid game.
Yeah, and I think I'll enjoy it, but I'm not sure I'd enjoy it to the extent where I play it enough to get £70 out of it for sure.
Yeah.
And in the absence of like a demo or anything to check out the gameplay to see how well I gel with it, it looks good and I think I'd like it, but yeah, I'm not prepared to spend £70 at the moment to find out, basically, I'm afraid. So sorry to our listeners. If anyone's listening that has picked up Returnal and wants to get in contact,
let us know how it is.
Please do so. But yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's in the general environment where I'm being a bit cautious with money as well, having spent a bit on consoles already kind of thing and headsets and other bits. But also, yeah, when we're getting games for free every week and you know, one of those recently has been Outriders and other stuff, it's really hard to justify picking up a game at 70 quid. As I mentioned on the show, I think a week or so ago, I did pick up a copy of Marvel Avengers, and I've been playing that on the PS5, so I can talk about that briefly.
Please do! Let me know! Is it nice?
I mean,
is it good times?
It is very nice and very shiny. I mean, I wouldn't say there's a massive noticeable difference between me playing it on the PS4
it's
and playing it on the PS5.
About 450 quid, the difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, I really...
And 30 frames.
Like, yeah, I couldn't... things a bit, but it does look visually impressive and it is good playing through it. The one thing for me, playing through the single player content, which I've been doing so far, I quite like the story. I quite like what they did with it. I like the universe they set up and the story they set up, and kind of playing through it, I'm like, yeah, this kind of, you know, it didn't seem to get the fair reception that, you know, it kind of possibly deserved from the quality of the opening part of the game. But then I think it reminds me why it possibly didn't deserve that in some ways as well, because the structure of the game is just weird. And, like, it's not wholly different to Outriders, necessarily, in terms of, you know, you need to be online for a lot of the time, and it actually handles quick resume and stuff a lot better than Outriders does, which is one thing that's quite nice and caught me completely by surprise. I turned the console on the other day, went to like load the game and got my phone out. I was like, oh, no, game. Okay, right, yep.
Such is the power of the Super 6.
Yeah, which is really quite nice. But then, yeah, like, as I said, other than that aside, the actual structure of the game is just weirdly laid out and feels a bit disjointed and disconnected in some ways once you kind of open up into the game. But yeah, I'm quite excited to actually get a bit through it though and actually play some with Coleman, and the kind of extra like Hawkeye content and stuff that they've dropped, and the Future Imperfect story and stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I could actually play through that and do some of that. Are they doing
any ties at all with the... I know they've consciously tried to remove it a bit from the cinematic universe, yeah. But are there any kind of beats that line up with some of the stuff they're doing with the kind of the run of series they're doing at the moment?
I think
like Loki in particular.
Well, I think the idea is, because this has been asked before.
Yeah.
One of the biggest questions with the game is, hey, people love the films. You know, why would they want to jump in this game where everyone doesn't look like the film actor and all that kind of stuff, because that's expensive. But, you know, they have gone, well, we're going to look at costumes and stuff for the films. Yeah. The problem is there hasn't been any films since the game got released. So I don't know about the TV shows and stuff. They have been putting more noticeable costumes in lately in the marketplace, but they only put them in like a 7-day period. So I think they put in a Invincible Iron Man, which I love that costume, and then went to go buy it. It's like, oh no, it's already gone. So it was the one time that I was very tempted to actually put down a microtransaction in the game to get that costume, and it wasn't even there. So
Coleman, what have we learned?
Look at spam emails that turn up from Squeenix and then immediately act on them. I don't know.
Well, why not? Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a Gladiator Hulk, though. I've got two Gladiator Hulks, in fact.
Ooh.
Really? Was I always got confused between Wolf and who was the other one?
Rhino.
Yes.
Saracen. Shadow. Jet. other ones. That's all I remember.
Jet. She was a parcel of loveliness to a teenager in the mid-90s.
Yeah, more costumes are going to come and they're going to look more like the film counterpart versions, I guess.
But like I said, I quite like the story in the universe they set up, and they wouldn't have been able to do anything like the story that they did if they set it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think I remember saying something similar, defending it when it came out. And I don't think that's the problem with the game, basically.
No.
I think if they'd have done a more traditional kind of not having the hub and the helicarrier and stuff like that, and just doing a series of levels where you could go in with your mates and bash your way through to beat up a supervillain at the end of it, I think that would have been a better formula, and they could have just continued adding levels to that. And I don't know. As I said, I'm not enjoying my time with it, and the playing through the story part of it is good and has made me keen to see the other story parts that they've added as well. And as I said, like, actually play some online with Coleman at some point as well, and other people's.
Yeah.
I mean, is there crossplay yet?
Between PlayStations and Xboxes, but not like PC, PlayStation, Xbox,
PS,
and
all that kind of
stuff. When the game first came out, what I said at that point was, it's like there's two different games that were being made. Like, someone wanted to make a single player story, impressive graphics and that kind of stuff. And then someone else, probably in a more corporate position, went, actually, no, Destiny, we want that, microtransactions, yep, and throw it all out. And we want to make more money on top of this money. And then those two things
more
got kind
of money on top of money. Get some money and put some more money on it.
Those two things got smushed together, and we ended up with this game that starts off very kind of single. Like, the intro to the game is very single player story, and then the levels that precede it, as they start to progress, then it gets more and more to the point of, actually, no, multiplayer, always online, looter shooter, like all that stuff gets thrown out there.
Yeah, and
But I still enjoy it.
Weirder hybrid, but yeah, I just think it would have been a better game being slightly more focused in one direction or the other, and I would have preferred the narrative, even if it then, you know, opened up into multiplayer, and then they're just microtransaction costumes and other things in it. I'd have more time for that, I think. And
yeah. And they patched it last week on the PS4, and that seems to have sorted out the stuttering issue that I had, so I can get back into playing that game.
Yeah.
Excellent. Medicinal as well as visually attractive.
I look forward to actually getting into the flipping PS5 version of that game down the line. It's just, unfortunately, if you move your data across to the PS5 version, you can't move it back to PS4. So I have to stick with the PS4 version for now.
That sounds like a classic Sony solution to that particular issue.
Yeah, I have a question on that as well. Like, one thing I actually sorted out this week, I bought myself an external hard drive.
Well done, you, Tim. Have a biscuit.
Moved a load of my PS4 games onto said external hard drive.
Right.
Let me guess, you can't run them off it.
No, and it seems fine. Like, I was even impressed. Like, it seems to have, because I've got PlayStation Plus, I think, through that. It's got all my save data and everything. I played a random game just to see the one that I hadn't played for ages, so I had a quick look at Shenmue, I think it was.
Shenmue!
Thank you.
It's been so long since we played Shenmue that I forgot how we pronounce it. And that seemed to like load my data and stuff on that fine. Yeah, and that was, I thought, a good test because it's got a weird load system and stuff as well. And yeah, anyway.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it just PS5 games you can't run off an external hard drive? Okay.
Yeah. Well, basically, I think if you do run them off there, they don't get any advantage of running from an SSD, even if you have an external SSD, basically.
If you put an external hard drive into your PS5, you can move across PS4 games and play them off there, but you don't get any benefit for doing so. Might get an increased load or something like that. You can move your apps over there. That's all fine. I think they done the update now where you can move PS5 games across just to store them.
Yes, I think that's back to save you having to download.
And that's quicker than re-downloading is the idea.
So that's instantly saved me a bit of space on my PS5 because anything that wasn't taking advantage of the PS5, I've moved back onto the hard drive.
Right.
So I've left like Ghost of Tsushima because that's got like a game boosty type thing that it does. And, a few others but like Spider-Man and stuff that do take advantage of it, or anything that has a PS5 version. But anything that's just a PS4 game, which in the most case was a lot of the games that I had downloaded on the console, at least, were a load of VR games, basically.
Yeah.
I've got the whole collection on there now.
I think if you put it on the external, it's basically PS4 Pro quality you're looking at.
I have the whole collection, I have access to that on the hard drive. But then if I plug in the VR headset, I'm quickly, rapidly running out of USB ports.
Right.
Because, if I need to plug in my headset and the VR headset, and then I've got a charging thing on that.
So I have a question, Tim.
Yep.
Have you never heard of USB hubs?
I'm not sure you can necessarily use them for all devices, can you, though? I don't know.
Not for the VR, possibly for your headset and your... I wouldn't want to do that with an external hard drive because they're finicky.
Especially get that its own port.
Because I've got an external SSD as well, just to be a bit quicker.
Turns out, if you keep your super sexy externally, it's not as sexy as the internal super sexy.
No, not quite as good, but still a bit faster at moving things across, basically.
I'm looking forward to the update where they go, hey, you can actually insert a SSD into the console and expand your PS5.
I know. There's a bloody expansion slot already there. There isn't is. There?
It's just mocking
you.
It's not activated. It's not activated, and they've not even told you what version of SSD you'll be able to put in there yet. So you can't pre-buy them or look out for sales or anything like that at all. And apparently, just plug one in there, it just won't switch on. So you can't use your PS5 if you randomly put one in. So there you go.
Good work, Sony.
Well,
good work.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that will work just like it would if it was in an internal one, though, basically.
What do you mean?
The the expandable one inside the console will work just as though it's the one that's already in there.
I think that's the idea. It's going to be a second SSD within the PS5.
It will be, as far as I can work out, it will just pool the storage between them.
The only thing with that is the Xbox equivalent are stupidly expensive.
Like $250, aren't they?
It depends what kind of, because I'm assuming
like double
it's
the price
be a,
of the SSD from what I just checked out from buying this one, basically. Like half the space for the same price, basically.
I'm guessing that the reason why they're a bit more expensive is because they are using PCIe 4 versus PCIe 3, which has ridiculously more data transfer capability. And like on a PCIe 1 terabyte NVMe drive, a PCIe 4 one, will cost about 190-ish for a terabyte. But if you went PCIe 3, that would be about 110.
It's funny, though, because they go, here's these cool little hard drives that we've made, and they look like memory cards, basically. You plop them in the back, and it makes it look like you could get a couple of them and like switch them out and stuff. And they go, cases of the Xbox Series S, they are more expensive than the console. That's kind of ruined the image you've just made of this transferable data.
Well, I mean, the problem is, I think we're not going to see memory prices drop for at least a year and a half. And as a result of that, we're not going to see hardware prices drop for at least a year and a half, because there's this ongoing semiconductor shortage nonsense.
Well, I think it's just a Microsoft thing as well, because like, if you remember on the 360 with the old big hard drives that you slot in the top before they redesign them into the smaller versions, when they introduced the terabyte one, they went, you can buy a new console with a terabyte, or you could just buy a terabyte hard, was it even terabyte? 500 gig? I don't know. When you could buy a bigger one, they went, you can buy a bigger one, and it's £200. No,
so I'll set the new console, thanks, and reset my red ring of death clock as well while I'm at it.
Helps, sell more consoles. So yeah, but anyway, my question though, well, I've been a bit hesitant to kind of just do the factory reset on my PS4 Pro before carting it off for trading, basically. But, I probably would have done it for now if it wasn't for the fact that I can't find where the hell I've stashed my PS4 controllers and need to dig some out. But, is there anything else I need to transfer across apart from the actual games themselves? Like, I had a little look through, and I couldn't see anything. Like,
I don't,
as
even
I said,
do
my
that.
Game data stuff seems to have gone through PS Plus anyway. So,
I mean, just make sure, like, if you've got a copy of the PT demo hanging about, make sure you've transferred that to a hard drive.
It doesn't work.
Doesn't it?
No, if you transfer, it doesn't work.
Boo!
I'm surprised you're going to sell your PS4. I thought you'd keep it for remote play in the bedroom.
Is that what the kids are calling it
now? play and chill, they call it.
But
might also answer the question of where your DualShock 4s are, Tim, as well. Well, I'm nestled or you're about stuttering. An orifice somewhere.
I can find a hell of a lot of I found a lot of DualShock 3s. No DualShock 4s.
Oh, caked in dust under his TV.
Nice.
All in the cupboard in big boxes, basically. Along with, I did find my Atari 2600 and thought about digging that out again. But hey.
I've got an image of a DualShock 3 in a massive box now, Tim, because I know that's how your brain works. It's not a massive box full of DualShock 3s. It's a massive box with a singular
massive
DualShock
box
3
full
in
of PS3 and 360 stuff, basically. But no DualShock 4s. But as I said, I just couldn't think of anything else I might need to transfer. But as you say, Coleman, I could use it for remote play, but I just, I'm not that bothered. I've got the Xbox in there if I need it, and I'm not even playing many games in there right now anyway.
Can't you just do remote play on your Android tablet or phone anyway?
Yeah.
There should be
an
app.
The TV in here is so much bigger than the TV in my bedroom now that it just feels like, downgrading when playing. So,
fair enough.
Well, sounds like a good idea to me as well, Carl, man, but he threw that back in your face, sunshine.
I mean, once I got my girlfriend a PS5, I put the little her old base unit PS4 up into the bedroom, and the only thing installed on that at the moment is the PlayStation remote app, and you can do PS5 up there. It's great. Works really well.
It's just a big chunky boy. I can get rid of it and get like 130 quid for it. I've been really tempted to get another Xbox S and just stick that in the bedroom because that's nice and small. And the old Xbox One I've got in there is just huge. So, I'm tempted to possibly do that. But I don't want to take it away from someone that might want it more and need it more at the moment. But I'm also tempted, if I'm going to buy another Xbox, just to buy the Series X and then have that in here
luck,
and have
good
the
luck
S
finding
in my bedroom, basically. But
good luck finding one of them, mate.
I'm not in a rush anyway, but, just eventually that might be a plan. But
I managed to do some console streaming, Xbox to phone, Xbox to PC, that kind of stuff, with the Series S now, because I've got the beta for that. That works really well.
I've also decided this week I really don't like the design of the PS5. It's really ugly. It really doesn't fit in my units very well. Like, I'm going to try and explore standing it up, and just so it looks a bit more attractive.
I just hope it's kind of an external shell tie whenever the new Doctor Strange movie comes out. Just because I think it could do like a big kind of cape thing to go with the Ming the Merciless.
The way
type
the stand clips into the bottom of it when it's horizontal is just, it's.
Ooh, does it get your Billy Goat? Does it, Tim?
It's just. It seems like a real afterthought. It doesn't seem like it was. Well, that hasn't worked, so maybe we'll just make this thing and, that'll do.
I still like the look of it. It stood up over it. It looks really nice.
I think I need to stand it up because it bothers me.
Got the charging stand next to it. All looks good. I managed to get a charging stand, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah, finally. Man.
That was harder to get than the PS5. Anyway, do you want to do some news?
Oh, yes.
You got some news?
Okay.
Hit me with it.
I might have to cut a couple of things this week. But first of all, so Nintendo announced this week Game Builder Garage.
I am quite excited by this.
Yeah. So this is, the idea is it's a little creation suite for younger children with the idea to get them into game development. So it uses video games to teach you kind of the basics of programming. And I think there's three different games you can make through it. There's a platformer, a racer, and something else. But I've seen this done in many different ways. Like they use Flappy Bird and Minecraft and all this kind of stuff to kind of, so you can get the idea of the fundamentals. And it's basically going, here's your command in a box. Here's a command in a box. Link those two boxes together. And then that forms, you know, your characters. And it's a really, really good idea. I don't know if you guys watched the video for this.
Yeah. I mean, what it reminds me of in some ways is the Scratch programming thing on Raspberry Pis, where it's all kind of it's just connecting. That cheapens it by describing it, but kind of connecting inputs, outputs from one thing into the inputs of another, yeah, and using logic to visually say what's going to happen. And I think, I'm a massive supporter of, you know, teaching kids how to program, because fine that not everyone wants to be a programmer, but I think it teaches incredible things about logic and problem solving, and you know, great Nintendo, more of this stuff please. This is fantastic.
I mean, Dreams isn't a million miles away from like the you know, this to the nth degree, but I think there is a good argument for having a completely stripped down simple version of it as well, in the way that Nintendo have presented it as well.
Yeah, whereas Dreams is more, it's geared towards kind of everyone. This is geared towards children and, doing that kind of early learning. It works really well. And Nintendo's a perfect platform to do that with.
Yeah.
And also, there's going to be a mouse which you can connect to the dock via USB, which means, come on, Nintendo, give us Mario Paint. Mario Paint on the Switch. We want it.
See, they need to put that on Nintendo Online.
Yeah,
make that part of that.
But yeah, that's coming out on June the 11th. If you've got some younger budding programmers in the works that you want to get involved in this,
I think we should give it to Tim. I just want to see what you would make of it, Tim.
That's a good idea, actually. You wasted money on those bloody Mario go karts. Why not? Why not get Tim on programming? I like it.
Yeah, do it, Tim. Yeah.
We got a couple of big bits of PlayStation news this week. So first of all, we were talking about Microsoft not buying Discord, and allegedly they were in talks. Allegedly it didn't go ahead, and allegedly Discord wishes to stay independent. And now it turns out that PlayStation, who love throwing money at other companies and not really doing anything exclusive with them, because they are, they seem to be chucking a bunch of money at Epic lately. They're now minority interest holders with Discord. So they're funding money into it. There's no real like giant stake that they're holding on to. And there's no kind of confirmed idea on what Discord and PlayStation, if anything, is going to happen. But apparently look towards early next year for possibility of something with PlayStation and Discord.
Well, I found a bit weird is the way they just suddenly pulled the plug on the communities aspect of the PlayStation platform. And
we said at the time, it'd be a great idea to put Discord on a PlayStation if you're getting rid of communities.
Yeah, I mean, it would make a lot of sense in many ways. I mean, Discord's in a really weird place in many ways, because it's not quite sure if it wants to be happy-go-lucky gaming fun times, or if it wants to be, hey, look,
Zoom competitor.
Business people, business, 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 money, business. I think they're slightly going back more towards the gaming side of things now, but they did strip out a lot of the fun from the Discord platform.
Well, that's it. And they, when we've spoken about this before, they kind of go, hey, we're like, they keep trying different things and then keep, you know, cancelling that. They're a little bit Google where they go, hey, we're going to launch a store. And then a week later go, actually, we're not going to do that. And you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, they seem like, especially because community, I mean, if you look on Xbox side with the clubs and PlayStation side with communities, neither of them really have that big a hold when compared to Discord. And Discord seemed to be not just with video games, but I know a lot of people use it for live streaming services. They've recently just launched a new chat room type thing where if you're doing an audio only stream, you can have your listeners jump in and ask questions and stuff, which we looked at, but we have this video component that would mean we couldn't use that then.
Not yet, but it does sound that's something they might.
Yeah, if they throw it into video, in the non too distant future. I mean, there's workarounds with video and stuff we could use in the future, but yeah, it's interesting to say the least. And hopefully next year, if they're saying early next year we might show something off, then hopefully that does mean PlayStation Discord, because that's a really cool feature to have. And I hope that doesn't just limit it to PlayStation as well, because if you then had something
Disc Station.
If you then have your PlayStation and your Xbox playing, you know, niceties together, if they could both use Discord, that'd be great. I'd love that.
I'm sure it's gonna be the ever occurring game of, look, we're happy to do it, Sony, and then just going, no, don't want to.
Maybe.
You smell.
We'll have to see.
Of elderberries.
Good.
Anyway, right.
And also, Sony is facing a lawsuit over their sternness. So there is a lawsuit at the moment, a report by Bloomberg, and they are being sued in the US because of their...
Oh, someone being sued in the US, what a surprise. Let me guess, it's a class action lawsuit?
Because of their monopoly over digital game sales. So,
right.
According to the lawsuit, Sony Interactive Entertainment, they're able to charge up to 175% higher than physical games sold by retailers, both online and in-store, with modern games like Returnal that are being sold for £70, £69.99. And also, I think this is following the recent decision, or I say recent, like last year or the year before, where they went, hey, we sell digital games on Amazon and through Green Man Gaming and all these different places, except for in the UK. And then they went, actually, no, we're not going to do that anymore. You're not allowed to sell digital games anymore. You can only sell the credit, which we then, you have to spend on our store and all this kind of stuff. So it might amount to nothing, but at the moment, PlayStation's getting called a monopoly because of their store. And I think especially when you look at their refund practices, I agree with that. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see if anything happens because of this.
Do you think it will?
No, not at all.
Yeah, there we go.
But who knows? Like, with it wasn't that long ago we were talking about loot boxes and the decision of they're not gambling, and now in the UK they're going, yeah, they are gambling, and
said they were a gateway drug to gambling. Yes. It's just the industry said they...
Yeah, we've always... Yes. We have always said on this show that there is a problem with loot boxes... Gambling. In different countries they have said no, and now they're starting to turn around on that. So even if this doesn't do anything to begin with, it starts a conversation, and who knows, like 3 years down the line it might actually turn out that people are going, actually, look at the loot box stuff with EA. Where was it? It was like Germany, where they went, no, you can't use these loot boxes. And they go, well, you're not getting FIFA games. You know,
Belgium, I think.
Oh, Belgium. Sorry. Yes. And they go like, well, you're not getting FIFA games in Belgium now. Or if you do, they don't have online play. So you can't use the microtransactions. So we'll see what comes of this, if anything, down the line.
I mean, for the love of God, seriously, people.
And lastly, which I found very interesting, Konami has pulled out of E3 2021, which is going to be a digital event this year.
I have a question.
Okay.
E3 pull out of E3 this year?
Yeah, it's now the Electronic What do they call it now? It's not Expo anymore. It's entertainment or experience or something instead, the third E. But I thought it was very interesting because they announced the new digital version of E3, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm.
And then Konami were on their list, which was interesting because Konami's not outside of Pro Evolution and the odd mobile port. They've not really done anything. And then recently on a Nintendo Switch Indie Showcase or whatever they call them, Konami were on there. I'm like, okay, that indie company, Konami, we all know so well. And then all of a sudden they were on the lineup for E3 and then they've gone, actually, no, we're not. So who knows what Konami have up their sleeve?
Arms, probably.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Arms maybe up their a sleeves. Shoulder.
Yep. Listen to him. He's a doctor. He knows about these things. There's a whole song that he probably knows off by heart.
There might be something interesting coming from Konami in the future. Possibly
something
Pachinko.
Interesting from Konami in the future. That's like saying we might do an entertaining show one day.
Another Pachinko machine. Metal Gear Solid Pachinko machine coming up.
If it's if it's not a Pachinko machine or alleged bad staffing conditions over in Japan, then it might be a video game if they're looking at E3 2021, which they're now not, but maybe they had something in the works that wasn't just this Switch indie game.
Well, they also announced this week that Gamescom's going all digital this year again, so
Jeff Keighley
doing some stuff. But, you know, hey.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be there yet.
What, E3? Yeah. No, I don't think we are either. It's digital, Dan.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's everywhere, Dan. So we, in fact, are going to be there. Because everyone can be there all over the world.
Hence, do you know what I'm going to do? Do you know what I'm going to do? Just to recreate the Expo experience, I'm going to coat my Xbox controller in like marmalade.
Nice.
Something like that. Just so I get that kind of nice, that's kind of...
Marmalade.
Really grody kind of Expo juice all over the controller. It's going to be, it'd be lovely. And
delicious.
Then I'll go
is
and
that
eat a
be
kebab
the Paddington
that's
2 of video games.
Yeah, then I'm going to eat a kebab that's 5 weeks out of date, so I'll get the requisite gut rot to go with it as well. It's going to be beautiful.
Nice.
I'll poo myself inside out to recreate the experience. Timothy!
Yes!
Gosh, talk to me.
I will.
All right. Do it.
With purpose as well, although, you know...
Really?
With
this doesn't stuff. Sound like purpose, Tim.
Well,
it just sounds like rambling. I'm
no,
not gonna
it
lie.
No, I didn't say it was immediate purpose.
Oh,
just
said
with purpose for a change, because generally I just waffle at you for no reason, Dan. But at the moment, and the point I'm getting to, is anyone
Are
that hasn't
though?
Been listening, or every week we've generally been saying... go and check out Geek Out for Gosh. It's a campaign to help raise some money for Great Ormond Street Hospital, hence the Gosh, in case you weren't aware. But if you go to social media such as Facebook and Twitter, you can check out some information by seeking Geek Out for Gosh with the number 4, or you can go to Gosh's website, and we'll have a link in the show notes, but it is this gosh.org, and search for Geek Out for Gosh, again, number 4. It's a campaign where you can help raise money for Great Ormond Street by streaming video games, or you can support someone else that's doing that instead. If you do raise £250 while streaming, you get an exclusive insert coin tee and t-shirt, I should say, and
Ooh.
Pin. That, really quite nice. And as I said, exclusive, and you can only get by raising that way. So raising that amount of money and getting that in return. So check out some details there, or come and help support someone else that is doing some streaming and raising some money for charity. I saw a few other people doing it this week as well. So thank you very much for anyone else that has already taken part.
Blended. I'm a specky four-eyed twat. I am, actually. an excellent point well made, Dan.
I thought so. I thought you couldn't hear the soundboard.
Nope. Totally can hear the soundboard.
Playing that for my own amusement. Okay. So if you want to get in contact with the show, you can
just,
do
was it,
so
just
via...
broadcasting your internal monologue about me. Right, fair enough.
I've noticed your soundboard is way bigger than Tim's, but you happen to say more funny things.
Roger me with an avocado and call me Keith.
Especially out of context as well.
Yeah, I know, right? What's Tim do? Tim's got distracted by his sofa again. I've got quite a big head. I do.
Yeah. Whereas Tim gives us...
Never record my bell end.
Yeah.
No, see?
And if you don't record with your bell end, then please get in contact with Big Red Barrel, which you can do so at bigredbarrel.com. Yep, nice. We have a comment section, so you can go to our posts and you can add comments, ask us questions and stuff. Also on that website, there is a link to our Discord. You can go on Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Barrel or YouTube at Big Red Barrel TV, like these folks have, because they all have questions. They have all said, I have a question.
Wow.
And we have quite a lot of questions, even more than last week. So
yes, we do.
I say we take one each. Let's get
through. Yep.
Yep.
Who wants to pick one?
Oh.
Ooh. I'm going to take J-Mac.
Yep.
I'm going to take the top one. J-Mac or J-Mac. Or J-Mac. I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm just guessing. Those are all the combinations I come up with. Feel free to correct me in next week's questions. He says, and he asks, well, I'm assuming it's a he. It could be a she, could be a they. I don't know. They ask. I'm going to stop digging myself a hole and get on with this question.
Please do.
Right. Great. Brilliant. With the world slowly starting to get back to normal, whatever that is, how long do you think it will be before we start to see games using COVID as a theme?
I hope never. Because it's not good.
All I'm going to say is Plague Incorporated kind of predated it.
And we already mentioned Pandemic before.
Well, I mean, Ubisoft are now turning away from The Division. Like, The Division team are now working on an Avatar game rather than The Division 3, which would probably be a good seller, but focuses around a pandemic. That kind of stuff. And I looked at, like, on TV, they keep showing ads to this hospital drama in the US, which they very quickly started going on the COVID storyline, which, okay, makes sense, serious hospital drama. But at the same time, they're also airing adverts for this comedy in a supermarket, and they're all making fun of, like, COVID restrictions and stuff. I'm like, it just doesn't see. I don't want this.
I think, are you going to see, wasn't it silly, kind of comedy pastiche type things? I think you're going to see them within about a year and a half. But the serious, kind of gritty life in a pandemic kind of story-based, slightly grim stuff, a bit like kind of The Last of Us COVID edition, I don't think you're going to see probably for about 5 years, I think is going to be.
I think even longer than that. I think people are going to be fed up of this for a while to come and want to forget about it. I think it will be a negative for games like Pandemic and stuff like it. Probably may have played into a positive for a while for them. But I think, people will get very bored and very sick of this. I think it's going to drag on for a while longer, and there could be areas of the world in 5 years where it's still a problem. Unless we, seriously change how we're doing things at the moment, but
yeah, I couldn't agree more.
There's that Rainbow Six game, the spin-off that's all about outbreak of viruses and stuff, and they've not only put that game back, but they're changing the name of it because they're like, well, we can't talk about outbreaks.
And I think people will pull away from this for a while to come, possibly. So I don't think it's going to be safe territory for a while. I think it may be 20 years before you see a big serious drama about it as well. Like, I think, as you say, we might see a few things poking fun at it. I think we'll see things referencing things more. Like, I don't know about you, when I was playing games during the pandemic, the one that really did it for me was Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Right.
Walking out in a crowd of people when I couldn't walk out in a crowd of people, and having them not reference that in the game because obviously they wouldn't, but it just felt like odd and actually quite nice. it was proper escapism from the actual conditions of the world right now.
But on the bright side, you could use your Spidey powers to weave up some bell ends of mask because that's what I'm getting a lot of around here at the moment.
Yeah.
People not wearing my... Oh, don't... Ooh, I almost started on a
just
rant.
Just web them up. Just nose pokers.
When Watch Dogs Legion came out, which also came out during lockdown, your characters, they do wear masks. But when they don't wear masks for heists and stuff, all of mine have surgical masks on. Because it just didn't feel normal not doing it at the time. Even my Tony Hawk character has a surgical mask on, It's... I need that point where that's not a normality. But I don't know if they will reference it because, you have to put a lot of distance between a period. I mean, it's not just the pandemic being we're locked at home and locked down and not going out in public places and seeing your friends. A lot of people have died and are still dying all over the world. So Yeah, I think entertainment should just kind of avoid that stuff. And that is why like more political type fantasy, you know, fancy political biological warfare and all that kind of stuff, they're kind of steering clear of that at the moment because it is a sore subject for that very reason. So I think it's going to be a few years before we see anything on that theme, but it's definitely not going to be a close to home theme like COVID has been.
No.
Personally.
Yeah.
I think. Tim, did you want to pick one?
I quite like the look of Jeff Porter Bridges' question, but it's a long one and I'm not sure we've got time for it this week and it might go a bit in depth. But yeah, I was going to go with Stealthy Joe's question. So yeah, which strategy 4X or sim game would you like remade into another genre? I would love another CNC FPS, but one that explores it as a Tiberian wasteland with mutants trying to survive on the edges of greater conflicts, or XCOM lol, but better than Declassified.
XCOM Declassified is a crying shame because there was a good game that they then turned around and made into a terrible game.
Yeah, it could have been great. It really could have been fantastic.
I didn't hate what they ended up with.
Well, because the whole idea was it was meant to be paranormal investigation, like more like X-Files was the game type thing, and then they went, actually, third-person shooter. So they did that instead.
Nice idea. Let's generify this a bit. Okay, great. Third person check. Shotgun check.
Yeah,
let's,
even though,
let's roll.
Even though I said this question, I'm going to slightly cheat in part of my answer as well. Like, there is a game that was already a spin-off of another universe that went into a 4X sim type game that I'd like to see come back, because I really liked it, and that was Ghost Recon on the 3DS. Ghost Recon, what was the subtitle? Don't remember. But yeah, it was
A strategy game on the 3DS? Game,
basically.
So you're talking about a first-person shooter turned into a strategy game, turned into what? What are we turning this into now?
No. I'm just saying, like, I'd like to see that game come back, because that did what he was saying in reverse. So I am very much cheating, but yeah.
All right.
But just seeing a different game in the XCOM universe, I quite like the idea of that. I'm not sure what's worked best. They've already tried a third person shooter. Maybe we go first person shooter and see what happens with that. But, or as you say, like, go down the original thing that they went paranormal investigation, and yeah.
I don't really play RTS games, so I don't have much of an opinion. So to take the mick, I'll say Halo Wars into a first-person shooter.
Oh, Coleman. Oh, lololololol. I would like to see chess in the form of For Honor. That's what I'd like to see.
I mean, if you take the RTS element out and just go simulation game, Sims Battle Royale.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
100 Sims in a house with no doors and a fire. Whatever you usually do in those games. It's been a while.
There was also, I can't remember the name of the game, but there was a game set in like a kind of paranormal cowboy universe.
Oh yeah, Paranormal Cowboys. Love that
paranormal
game.
Paranormal Cowboys.
It's my favourite.
But yeah, like... It was an interesting kind of premise, and it'd be interesting to see other things in that kind of genre, in that setting.
I will take Spiky Chris's question where he says, what game did you love at launch even though it got huge amounts of swear word? Mine would be No Man's Sky. I loved the launch version, found it very relaxing, but the current version I find bloated. I have the same problem, Spiky Chris, with No Man's Sky. That was my favourite relaxing game, and... now it's not a relaxy game.
It does
now
feel quite stressful when you load it. I got so much thing to do.
I find it very hard to get back into.
Word to the wise, do the season. There's, you know, that new seasonal mode with the expeditions. It tells you it's very easily achievable things if you half put your mind to it. There's nothing too stressful. It holds your hand the whole way. You're not like, oh my God, what do I do with all the things? Because it actually structures it in such a way to make sure that it's not too overwhelming. Seriously.
Are you basically starting the game again, though?
Yes, exactly.
Going to lose my big house.
You don't, but you've got more than one save, Tim. You can just create a new save.
You can have several saves.
The chance of me playing more than one save.
No, I'm just trying to help. And you're throwing it back in my face. Just saying, Tim.
I am.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what? To keep on theme for this week, I'm going to say Marvel's Avengers, because that got a lot of crap when it launched, and I still love that game, even though, I mean, now it's been updated and it works again. It's great. But last week, I was that was the point I was starting to fall off, but now I'm back on board.
Right. One and word, three syllables. Destiny.
Destiny! Yeah, fair enough.
And I think am I right in, I think I'm answering his question the way he's phrased it, at least. I can say Rise in answer to this question.
I knew you were going to do that. But that still is arse water of the highest degree, Tim.
My flatmate just bought himself an Xbox Series S, and we were sort of downloading some games to go on it this week, and I was like, right, I'm going to show you this one. The guys on the podcast will take the but I reckon you're going to like it. And I showed him the screenshots of Rise, and he was like, yeah, okay, yeah, download it. So, yeah, might have someone to play co-op Rise with finally.
Shame.
Might install it on PC.
Free on Game Pass. Either of you two can join in if you want. That's what I'm saying.
I know.
I'd love to, but I think
it's only two-player co-op, but...
I'm garrotting myself that night. I don't know.
I actually want to go back and see if it still holds up as a single player game as well. But
I'm guessing no.
I do. It's still on Game Pass. Still, yeah. It's on PC now. Yeah. You can play at a higher frame rate.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, it's been on PC for ages, but I think it's on Game Pass PC now.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's been enhanced for Series X or S, but I'll see if it has.
They announced like 120 games.
Does it need enhancing? If your views on the matter are anything to go by, it doesn't.
You don't need to enhance perfection. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
There was a list of 120 different Xbox games that have all been enhanced this week. So have a look on that. Maybe it's on there. Titanfall 2 is on there.
Yeah. Might just replay that.
Now the community's like gone nuts for Titanfall 2 again because it's all
been
enhanced.
Search results for Rise. No results found. I've got off scot-free, ladies and gentlemen. Scot-free.
It's Rise with a Y.
Yes, that's how I've spelled
it. Okay, all right, fair enough. Don't call me a and I was checking.
How would the name of this game not be indelibly seared into my brain the amount of times Tim has bloody talked about it?
Why are you there, though? Sunset Overdrive, that runs really well on PC.
What? That everyone talked at the same time. Say,
yeah,
what?
Sorry. I was saying, while you're there, Sunset Overdrive runs really well on PC.
Ooh, see, that's another one I told him to download as well. So
yeah, runs at 60. Loved it.
Good fun game.
He didn't have last gen, so yeah.
Dan, us out of here.
Yeah. All right. So that's your lot, ladies and gentlemen. That's the show. We're done. We've run out of questions. We've run out of things to talk about.
We've run out of stuff that we've done played.
We don't. But we're saving them for next week.
We've still got games to play as well.
Oh,
Dan. There's still games.
Tim, you unstoppable moron! Just shut up. Christ. End the show, Dan. Thanks, Tim.
I mean, I said that you should end the show.
Oh, Timothy Hibbs, you big steaming pillar. You start as well. Seriously. Jesus Christ, you two.
Hello.
Anyway, leave us a review. It makes us happy.
Leave
a review wherever you found this podcast. Leave us a review. We like nice reviews. But if you don't... do that if you like.
Big old monocles.
Yeah, exactly. Right, like big old monocles.
BRB does not condone vandalism.
No, unless you have artfully drawn a cock and balls, then we'd just like to see the evidence, really.
No.
If you're going to deface something, Captain the classic Average. Go-to is cock and balls with a monocle on it is what I want to see because it's only got one eye. No, seriously, please don't deface public property or anybody's property. In fact, just forget we've had this entire conversation and just leave a nice review of the podcast.
Good work.
Okay, I'm going to stop talking now because I've gone to the bad place. So, without further ado, all that's really left is for me to remind you that I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Coleman. Let's see if I can find one more little silly thing to play on the sound. Let's just play that one again.
Big old monocles.
Yeah.
There we go. So, thank you for downloading us. We should be back next week. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Please stop it, Master. Please stop. Oh, God. Woo!
quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.